Okay. Well, those of you who are online, you may or may not hear it. We have a little bit of a concert going on outside the door, so hopefully that won't be too distracting here. We're going to finish up today with Taoism. Always a little bit confusing because whether it's spelled two different ways, at least in English, one with a T at the beginning, one with a D, but is pronounced as though it has a D, Taoism. If you wish to understand the Far Eastern Asian culture, you must not only know about Confucianism, you also have to know about Taoism. It is an influential system of thought, not only in China, where it originated, but also, once again, in the same nations mentioned before with Confucianism, Koreas, Japan, and Vietnam. The system along with Confucianism are important to understand those Asian countries. One scholar actually went so far as to say, no one can hope to understand Chinese philosophy, religion, government, art, medicine, or even cooking without a real appreciation of the profound philosophy taught in the Tao Te Ching. No other Chinese classic of such small size has exercised so much influence. And actually, in recent years, Taoist thought has been increasingly important in European and North American countries. And once again, with the rise of China, I'm sure that that influence will only increase. Well, tradition claims that Taoism was founded by a man by the name of Lao Tzu, who was born in approximately the year 604 BC. And he's kind of a shadowy figure about whom little is known for certain. And it's even questioned whether he existed at all. Lao Tzu is not really a name. It's actually more of a title. And it can mean various things. It can mean the old boy, the old fellow, or the grand old master. It is a title, not a birth name. Legends regarding Lao Tzu are all over the place. Some say he was conceived by a shooting star, yet others that he was carried in his mother's womb until he was 82 years old and born an already old and wise man. A more believable account claims that he kept the archives in his native Western state in China, where he lived a simple and unambitious life. Some have theorized Lao Tzu was a recluse who focused on his somewhat occult meditations. Others claim he was a friendly neighbor with a good sense of humor. The historical account of China's first historian, Su Qian, claimed he possessed a great depth of understanding that defied ready comprehension. Qin claims that Confucius and Lao Tzu once met, that actually Confucius went to see him. And Confucius is said to have left the meeting feeling a sense of respect, saying the following of Lao Tzu: "I know a bird can fly. I know a fish can swim. I know animals can run. Creatures that run can be caught in nets. Those that swim can be caught in wicker traps. Those that fly can be hit by arrows. But the dragon is beyond my knowledge. It ascends to the heaven and the clouds and the wind. Today I have seen Lao Tzu, and he is like the dragon." Well, the last report of Lao Tzu pictures the great wise man saddened by the people's failure to attempt to cultivate their natural goodness, which he was an advocate for. Riding out of China on a water buffalo headed westward. At the Hanako Pass, a gatekeeper is said to have tried to persuade him to turn back. Seeing that Lao Tzu was set on leaving, he then asked him to at least leave a record of his beliefs, so people knew what he was leaving behind. Well, Lao Tzu agreed to it and left for 3 days, returning with a small volume of 5,000 characters entitled The Tao Te Ching, which can be translated The Way and Its Power. The Way and Its Power. It is a short book, which I'll return to later. Lao Tzu then rode off on the water buffalo into the proverbial sunset, never to be seen again.
Doc, I need to start the last again.
Okay.
I was able to keep up.
Okay. So, last, okay, I'll slow down. Sorry, the music makes me move faster. I'm in competition. Yes, I can. It makes me focus more to read louder and faster. So the last report of Lao Tzu pictures the great wise man saddened by people's failure to attempt to cultivate their natural goodness, riding out of China on a water buffalo headed westward. And I should add that, in a sense, if you're leaving China, you are basically leaving the earth and their understanding of things. So this man is basically not just leaving China, he's leaving the world. So at this Hanako Pass, a gatekeeper is said to have tried to persuade him to turn back. Seeing Lao Tzu was not going to turn back, he told him to leave a record of his beliefs to the people. So Lao Tzu agreed to do it, and he wrote a 5,000 character work, now is known as Tao Te Ching, or The Way and Its Power. It's a short, short book, and I'll say more about it a little bit later. Lao Tzu then rode off on this water buffalo into the sunset, never to be seen again. And it's really amazing when you look at Lao Tzu's life, the fact that this document had such great influence, because this is not a man who preached in any way. He did not seek out followers. He seems to have led a quiet life, and yet we don't even know if he existed. Yet this document has had great influence. Well, the same historical sources that were work in were at work in Taoism as were in Confucianism. Both Confucius and Lao Tzu, the possible founder of Taoism, they lived at the same time. The breakdown of harmony in the land was also a concern and backdrop for the formation of Taoism. However, while Confucius thought the answer to China's problems could be solved by mandating people to live in a manner mandated by heaven, Lao Tzu felt that imposing such laws helped to cause China's problem. So one is trying to get the governmental rulers to get people to live in harmony through teaching these relationships and having people live by these rigid relationships, where he's saying, if you make laws, if you force people to do things, that's what causes disharmony. So the complete different answer to life's problems. It actually caused social unrest. The Tao Te Ching, The Way and Its Power, states, when righteousness is lost, only then does the doctrine of propriety arise. And now propriety is a superficial expression of loyalty and faithfulness and the beginning of disorder. So Lao Tzu was saying that imposing external laws is a reflection the society has broken down. Those internal laws we live with have somehow broken down. And harmony will not result when laws are imposed on the people. So he felt that you could not create harmony by imposing morality on people. You may have heard that from people before, right? There are people who think this way today, that you can't make people do things. I know I've heard in the news in the United States, there are people who feel that illegal drugs should all be made legal, because you cannot, just because you have laws that tell people that they cannot use marijuana, that they cannot use cocaine, whatever the drug may be, does not stop them. They feel, if anything, it just makes the problem worse. So this thought pattern is out there, definitely. And he actually considered it a natural reaction of the people to rebel against the imposition of such moral laws. So actually, by making laws, you are actually causing more problems, because people will naturally push back against those. In what may be a legendary meeting, Lao Tzu is said to have rebuked Confucius for his ideas. He said, "Give up, sir, your proud airs, your many wishes, mannerism, and extravagant claims. They won't do you any good, sir. That's all I must tell you." So Lao Tzu felt the way out of social chaos could not be found Lao Tzu felt the way out of the social chaos could only be found in the Tao and the principle of Wu Wei, which we will discuss a little bit later. People had to align themselves with the natural flow of the Tao, and this would naturally work its course. He felt the less the government was involved in the process, the better. In a Taoist source entitled The Sayings of Lao Tzu, the master declares of the following regarding the role of government. Tao is eternally inactive and yet leaves nothing undone. If kings and princes could but hold fast to this principle, all things would work out on their own. Now this is how I know what I lay down. As restrictions and prohibitions are multiplied in the empire, the people grow poorer and poorer. When the people are subjected to overmuch government, the land is thrown into confusion. The greater the number of the laws and enactments, the more thieves and robbers there will be. Therefore, the sage says, so long as I do nothing, the people will work out their own reformation. So long as I love calm, the people will right themselves. If only I keep from meddling, the people will grow rich. If only I am free from desire, the people will come. Naturally back to simplicity. So a ruler should let people live in a natural state. They shouldn't be trying to force people to do things. That's what leads people to harmony. Another important thinker and contributor and teacher to Taoism is a man by the name of Chuang Tzu. Chuang Tzu. He lived in the 4th century BC. He took the ideas of the Tao Te Ching as his starting point, and he developed them further and emphasized the mystical nature of the Tao. His work carries his name and is referred to as the Chuang Tzu. Chuang Tzu would emphasize the ability of the individual to transform themselves through the day, which is the universal Tao manifested in the individual believer. We'll get more into that in a bit. There is also it should be pointed out that there were two types of Taoism that would eventually emerge. There was a philosophical Taoism and a religious Taoism. A philosophical Taoism and a religious Taoism. The works of Lao Tzu, Chuang Tzu, and another person named Lei Tzu formulated the primary works for what is known as philosophical Taoism. Philosophical Taoism attempts to remove friction in one's life and actions, to conserve energy. It is seen as contrary to the way of the Tao to make strong efforts to achieve one's goal. You shouldn't need to make strong efforts to achieve goals. Over time, however, another Taoism formed, known as religious Taoism, also known as magical Taoism. This form of Taoism felt it was possible to utilize forces of the Tao, which made it possible for the possessor to gain magical powers and immortality. It possessed its own clergy, its own gods, and rituals. The way that philosophical Taoism transitioned over time to religious Taoism seems to be from some of the Taoist teachings to have been interpreted by later followers in a literal way when they were meant to be read in a figurative way. So they were interpreting the things literally, which were meant to be figurative. Out of religious Taoism, several new ideas and practices came into existence. And I'll share with you three of those. One was hygiene. This stream of thought was not the idea of being clean, not having dirt on your body, but that one can use the qi, that is the breath or vital energy within, to purify oneself, and purify oneself so much that you could gain immortality, that you could live forever. There is also alchemy. This stream in Taoism sought to change natural elements into the elixir of life that would make one immortal. There is also Peng Lai. This name refers to a mythical island or islands that was being searched for at the time. The belief was that immortal beings and a drug that prevents death would be found on that island. Religious Taoism would combine all these elements in their teaching and add a host of gods to their belief system. It is still around, but not particularly popular. So this seeking after, you know, this breathing pattern that can bring you eternal life, finding an elixir that you can put together to give you eternal life, or islands. It's still around a little bit, but not in large numbers. However, philosophical Taoism would come back full force in the 3rd century. And be known as pure conversion. And this is still strong today. They study as their primary texts the Taoism from a philosophical angle. Now, go on and discuss with you the sacred texts. The most important text is the Tao Te Ching. As I've mentioned, the name of it is The Way and Its Power. It's extremely short. It's only 5,000 words. It is traditionally taught that it was written, as I said, by Lao Tzu. However, most believe it is the work of several authors, centuries after the time when Lao Tzu is proclaimed to have lived. It teaches that when one allows the universe to run its natural course without opposition, things will move towards perfection and all things will be in harmony. It teaches some of the core beliefs of Taoism, which we'll cover here in just a moment. I would, you know, it's an interesting book to read. It's only 5,000 words, so that probably only take you, you know, maybe an hour at most to read. You may just want to read it at some point. It's an interesting and short book. However, the Tao Te Ching, Ching is not the only sacred book for the Taoists. There are others. It has been reported that over 1,000 texts have been written over the centuries, many of which still survive and are used in various parts of Asia, particularly in Taiwan. They include works related to revelations, medical instructions, tales about Taoist saints, stories about people who have attained immortality, and other topics. So, what are the beliefs of Taoism? Well, the Tao is the primary concept discussed in the Tao Te Ching. Tao means way or path. However, it is almost impossible to define in words. And actually, that's made clear in the opening words of the Tao Te Ching, which are quite famous. The Tao Te Ching's opening declares the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. So it's in some ways impossible to completely define it. The Tao Te Ching also declares, those who know don't say, and those who say don't know. However, perhaps the best way to define the Tao is by declaring it is the way that the universe works. That's essentially what the Tao is, the way that the universe works. The Tao, the goal of a Taoist is to order and live their lives in harmony with the Tao. So you're trying to live in harmony with the way that the universe works. And the way to live in harmony is by practicing what is known as Wu Wei. Wu Wei literally means inaction. It teaches that a person should avoid being aggressive and instead do what is natural and spontaneous. This is done by avoiding all forms of stress and violence and to properly commune with nature. If one does this, their life will naturally flow with the Tao. The virtues produced by practicing Wu Wei are true love, kindness, simplicity, and being content in the lives and relationships of people. A person attempts to restrain themselves from anger, ambition, and being meddlesome in the lives of others. Taoists believe living in such a way produces power for good. One Taoist source proclaims the way to live is the following. To those who are good to me, I am good. And to those who are not good to me, I am also good. And thus all get to be good. To those who are sincere and to those who are not sincere with me, I am also sincere. And thus also get to be sincere. So it is felt in Taoism that the presence of natural kindness makes the strong harmless and the weak by gentle persevering strong. Another Taoist source illustrates the overcoming power of kindness this way. It says, there is nothing in the world more soft and weak than water. Yet for attacking things that are hard and strong, there is nothing that surpasses it. The soft overcomes the hard. The weak overcomes the strong. The highest goodness is like water. It stays in places which others despise. Therefore, it is near the Tao. Another belief is belief in the yin and yang. I'm sure you've seen that symbol at some point or another. The yin and yang are accepted both in Taoism and Confucianism. While all things emanate from the Tao, there are elements which are contrary to one another. Things like light and dark, male and female, good and evil, light and death. The positive side is the yang, and the negative side is the yin. Let's see. Positive is white, yes. That would be the yin, and the black is the yang. And they're interdependent of one another. And are expressions of the Tao. To live a harmonious life, a person must have the proper interaction of these forces. So for instance, the yin would be female, yang is male. Yin cold, yang hot. Yin is passive, yang is active. Yin is negative, yang is positive, and so forth and so on. All these concepts are independent with one another. To have a harmonious life, you have to have the proper interaction. Richard Bush, in his story of religion in China, explains the concept this way. An understanding of the world has emerged. There were powers from above associated with heaven, such as rain and sun, and powers of the earth below, such as fertility of the soil. It follows naturally that the forces of heaven and earth should be in a state of interaction and that all life flows from this interaction. All people have observed this process in nature, have planted and harvested their crops accordingly, and therefore developed a rhythm of life. The ancient Chinese sensed beneath this rhythm the movement of two basic forces called yang and yin, Yang is above, male, light, warm, and aggressive. Yin is below, female, dark, old, cold, passive. Harmonious life is a complementary interaction of male and female, darkness and light, rain and sun, fall on earth and crops below. The passive yields to the aggressive, but change, which is believed to explain the rise and fall of dynasties, as well as the change from day to night and back to day again. The goal of this process is harmony between ruler and subject, among members of the family, and society becomes the goal of life both in ancient China and among many Chinese today. So there has to be a proper interaction of these forces for harmony to exist. Other beliefs in Taoism: the principle of inactivity. We've already covered this principle a little bit. It is deliberately not taking action. You're attempting to deliberately not take action. One does not attempt to meet an enemy with force, except if you're defending yourself. One does not attempt to impose one's will on another. To do such a thing will only lead to resistance and will be counterproductive. So rather, it's best not to take action and let the way the universe works, that is the Tao, take its course. There is also the day. As Halvorsen writes, the day is the pattern within each object that makes it what it is. It is our individuality, our uniqueness. It is our interconnection to the universal Tao. Therefore, as we are true to who we are in our unique nature, we will then work in harmony with the natural flow of the universe. So a person needs to accept their unique pattern and the unique pattern of others. It's impossible to make everything conform to our idea of what it is. It's unnatural. It is not the way the universe works. If you push against someone's unique pattern, that is their day, they will rebel. We all have a unique pattern according to Taoist thought. And a Taoist would say that we need to accept the uniqueness of ourselves and others. Not everyone or thing is the same, and to impose our will on it is wrong. Chang Zhu shared the following story about how confused the world would be if we do not accept this truth. That is the truth about our own unique nature and the idea that we really just can't work against the unique nature of others. He says, if a man sleeps in a damp place, he gets lumbago and dies. But how about an eel? And living up a tree is a precarious and trying to the nerves. But how about monkeys? Of the man, the eel, and the monkey, whose habitat is right. Human beings feed on flesh, deer on grass, centipedes on little snakes, owls and crows on mice. Of these four, whose is the right taste? In regard to the man's desires or interests, if we say that anything is either good or bad according to our individuality, that is our subjective standards, then there is nothing which is not good, nothing which is not bad. So we all have our own unique pattern, is what is that saying? Our own unique way of working in the way of the universe. Well, just briefly, comparison of Taoism with Christianity. Regarding the ultimate reality in Taoism is the Tao. It is an impersonal force of existence that is beyond differentiation. We are to align ourselves with the Tao, but we cannot know it in a personal way. We're supposed to align our ways with the way the universe works, but you can't have a relationship with it. Where in Christianity, we have the personal creator who is separate from us, separate from his creation. He knows us and can be personally known by us in a personal way. Also, regarding the meaning of goodness, in Taoism, the ultimate form of the Tao is beyond moral distinctions. The yin and yang duality flows from the Tao and represents a balanced interaction between good and evil. Thus, good and evil are in some sense co-equal and are mutually dependent on one another. In Christianity, the existence of good is prior to the existence of evil. And moral righteousness is based on the character of God. Contrary to Taoism, evil is not necessary, not necessary to creation. Regarding nature, nature has always existed in Taoism. It is not created. Nature is moral in the sense that moral laws are like the laws of nature. In Christianity, a creation of God creation is an expression of the creativity of God and his being. Nature is morally neutral. It's neither good or bad. However, human beings can be moral. What about humanity's problem? Well, in Taoism, the human life is in chaos because we do not align ourselves with the way that the universe works. And when we're not in align with the way that the universe works, disorder and disharmony in society and oneself form. In Christianity, humanity's problem is life is in chaos because we have rebelled against God, our creator. This has caused us to be separated from him. What's the solution? Well, in Taoism, reliance on our ability to become aware of the way in which the Tao operates, and to align ourselves with it. And in the end, transformation comes when we are very purposefully inactive. We go with the flow of the Tao, the way the universe works. That's the solution. In Christianity, we're reliant on what God has accomplished on our behalf through Christ. Transformation comes when we repent of our sins, of our selfishness, and trust in the forgiving and the work of Christ on the cross, and we allow the Holy Spirit to give us new life. Regarding the afterlife, Taoism, in Taoism, the person's individual consciousness seeks to exist, but his or her life force is in some sense recycled through remembrance. In some sense, the family keeps the person immortal through remembering them. In Christianity, the person's individual consciousness continues to exist, either in fellowship with God, if they die in relationship with God, or they are eternally separated from God.